Have you ever heard of a bomber that fought its last mission in 1942 and then just disappeared? Not shot down in flames, not ditched in the ocean. She sat down in a swamp on the north coast of Papua New Guinea and the jungle swallowed her whole. I'm Tail Dragger, and you're listening to The Hangar on Radio Hangar. Pull up a chair because this one is something else. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. All right, let's go back to February 23, 1942. The war in the Pacific is barely 3 months old. Pearl Harbor is still smoldering in the national memory, and the Japanese are pouring south through the islands, taking everything in their path. A force of B-17s from the 43rd Bomb Group out of Townsville, Australia, is sent north to hit a Japanese convoy approaching Rabaul. This is early in the war, the tactics are still being written, the crews are green, the weather over New Guinea is the kind of weather that eats airplanes for breakfast. Towering cumulus, zero visibility, rain so thick you cannot see your own wingtip. One of those bombers was a B-17E, serial number 41-2446, no famous nose art, no nickname, just a factory fresh olive drab fort with a crew of 9 and a belly full of bombs. Her pilot was Captain Fred Eaton. They called him Shorty. The co-pilot was Second Lieutenant Henry Harlow. Now here's where it gets interesting. They never made it to the target. The weather pushed them off course, and on the way back, low on fuel, with the mountains of the Owen Stanley Range blocking their path home. Eaton made a decision. He was going to put her down. Not in the ocean, not on a beach, in a freshwater swamp on the Agayombo coast, north of the village of Agayombo, about 60 miles inland from the coast along the Kokoda Track Corridor. The swamp was flat, it was soft, and it was his best shot at keeping his crew alive. He brought that big airplane and gear up, slid her across the muck and the kunai grass, and she came to rest sitting almost level, half submerged in warm brown water. Every single man walked away. Everyone, they waded through neck-deep swamp water, fought off mosquitoes that carried malaria like it was their job, and eventually found local villagers who helped them reach an Australian outpost. The whole crew survived the war. But the airplane? She stayed right where she sat down. For decades, nobody outside the local tribespeople even knew she was there. The jungle grew up around her, vines wrapped around the propeller blades. Trees pushed up through the bomb bay. Water buffalo wallowed in the shade of those massive wings. She became part of the landscape, as much a fixture of that swamp as the mangroves and the crocodiles. Then in 1972, an Australian military survey helicopter spotted her from the air, and the pilot could not believe what he was looking at. A B-17 virtually intact, sitting in the middle of nowhere with her guns still pointed at the sky. Word got out slowly, the way it does in that part of the world, and by the late 70s, aviation history buffs knew about her. They started calling her Swamp Ghost. And here's the thing that made Swamp Ghost different from every other warbird wreck on the planet. She was not a pile of parts, she was not corroded down to her spars. That freshwater swamp had done something remarkable, unlike saltwater, which eats aluminum alive. The tannic freshwater had actually preserved her, the airframe was largely intact. The engines, all 4 Wright R-1720 Cyclones, were still hanging on their mounts. The turrets still rotated. The 50 caliber machine guns were still in their positions. You could still read the instrument placards in the cockpit. Even the rubber tires, though flat and cracked, were still on the gear legs tucked up in the wells. She was a time capsule, 1942, frozen in a swamp.
But getting her out? That was the problem that stopped everyone cold for 3 decades. You have to understand the geography. This is not a field next to a road. This is equatorial jungle swamp. No roads in, no roads out. The nearest settlement is a cluster of thatch roof huts. The nearest port is hours away by small boat. There is no crane, there is no flatbed truck. There is nothing but mud and heat and insects and a 65-foot wingspan bomber sitting in knee-deep water surrounded by trees. Multiple groups tried over the years. In the 80s, a salvage team actually got permission from the Papua New Guinea government and started planning an extraction. But the logistics were staggering. You were talking about moving an airplane that weighs over 30,000 pounds empty with no roads, no heavy equipment access, and a government that understandably wants to protect its cultural heritage. Because by this time, Swamp Ghost was not just an American relic. She was a national treasure of Papua New Guinea. The local clans considered her part of their land, their story. There were legal fights. There were diplomatic negotiations. There were deals that fell through when funding dried up. Years passed. A decade passed. People started to worry that she would rot before anyone figured out how to move her.
Then along came a man named David Talichet. Now, if you know anything about Warbird restoration, that name rings a bell. Talichet was a former B-17 pilot himself. He flew forts over Germany with the 8th Air Force after the war. He built a restaurant empire, those castle-themed dinner places you might remember, and he poured his fortune into finding and recovering World War II aircraft. He had one of the finest private Warbird collections in the world, and Swamp Ghost became his obsession. Talichet spent years negotiating with the Papua New Guinea government, with the local landowners, with logistics companies. He reportedly spent millions of his own money on the project. Tragically, David Talichet passed away in October of 2007, before the recovery was complete. But the team he had assembled and the organization he had set in motion kept going.
In April of 2006, the extraction finally began. And it was unlike anything you have ever seen in aviation recovery. They could not disassemble her and truck her out, like you do with most wrecks. She was too intact and too fragile in the wrong places to risk cutting her apart. So they decided to lift her out, whole, a recovery team. Led by Fred Hagen and his crew worked for weeks in that swamp. They built platforms under the airplane to stabilize her. They brought in inflatable airbags, the kind used for marine salvage, and slid them under the fuselage and wings to float her up out of the muck. Imagine that. A 64-year-old bomber rising out of the swamp like a ghost. That is where the name really earned itself. Once they got her floating, they used a Russian-built Mil-Mi-17 helicopter, a big military cargo chopper, to sling load the disassembled wings and tail surfaces out to a barge on the coast. The fuselage was barged out separately. The whole operation took weeks and required constant negotiation with weather, terrain, and local conditions that would have made most people quit on day one. She was loaded onto a ship and sent to Long Beach, California. From there, she went to the Pacific Aviation Museum on Ford Island at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, the very place where the war that sent her to New Guinea had begun. And this is the part of the story that gets me every time. They did not restore her. Let me say that again. They did not restore Swamp Ghost to flying condition. They did not strip her down and rebuild her with new skins and fresh engines and a gleaming paint job. They preserved her as is, with the mud still caked in her wheel wells, with the vines still wrapped around her control cables, with the water stains on her fuselage skin and the dents from her belly landing still visible.
Because the decision was made, and I think it was the right one, that Swamp Ghost's story was not about what she could become. It was about what she had been, what she had survived. 60-plus years in a tropical swamp, and she came out looking more like a B-17 than most airplanes that spent those decades in a museum hangar. Restoring her would have erased the very thing that made her extraordinary. She sits today in the Pearl Harbor Aviation Museum, which was formerly the Pacific Aviation Museum, in Hangar 79 on Ford Island. You walk in, and there she is, olive drab and weathered, with her nose pointed toward the harbor where the Arizona still leaks oil into the water. The juxtaposition is deliberate. The war started here. This airplane was part of the answer, and she came home. The museum chose to do what they call a conservation rather than a restoration. They stabilized the corrosion, treated the metal to prevent further decay, and documented every square inch of her before putting her on display. You can see where the instrument panel was stripped by souvenir hunters before the recovery team got there. You can see where the jungle grew through the radio compartment. You can see the exit holes where the crew crawled out into waist-deep water on that February afternoon in 1942. Now, I have been lucky enough to stand next to a lot of warbirds. I have touched the rivets on P-51 Mustangs and B-25 Mitchells and everything in between. But there is something about standing next to Swamp Ghost that is different. It is the honesty of it. Most restored warbirds are beautiful, and I love every one of them, but they are a version of what the airplane became. Swamp Ghost is a version of what the airplane went through. There is mud from Papua New Guinea still on her belly. That mud is 60 years of history. And think about the crew. All 9 men survived, not just the crash landing, but the war. Shorty Eaton came home and lived a long life. The airplane he saved his crew with sat in that swamp, waiting as if she knew someone would come back for her. It took 64 years, but someone did.
This story draws from the Pacific Aviation Museum's own records and documentation of the recovery, from Warbird Digest's coverage of the extraction, and from the outstanding research done by aviation historian Justin Talen and his Pacific Rex database. If you ever find yourself on Oahu, go to Ford Island, stand in front of Swamp Ghost. You will not see a pretty airplane. You will see a real one. Radiohangar.com has more if you want it. I'm Taildragger, go fly something.